Yeah, I think that I think that all that heavy seeking was tending to take a lot of the joy out of my existence, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Sure.
So.
Well, I mean, the seeking, as much fun as it can be, is usually a response to some kind of joylessness to begin with, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a natural response.
Sure.
And of course, what's on
It's
the
all
other side?
fine. It's all fine as long as
Yeah.
you are convinced that you're about to find something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have to be convinced that you're about to find something in order for the calories and the seeking to continue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. That's fun.
So, abandon all hope.
Wow. That's the most fun.
I know.
Yeah. I know, it gets really strange when you abandon all hope. It's like, I kind of got accustomed to being joyless and I'm okay with it. Now I just laugh at myself because I realize I'm fucking doomed. Really, sliding into home plate. I'm doomed. I'm good to go. Oh, it's great. Well, it's like the mean, what do we have with respect to, life or experience, but nonstop deceit and disappointment? Right? Deceit and betrayal is all we have. Your body gives up on you, your mind gives up on you, your consciousness gives up on you, your friends give up on you, right? Your
Right.
health goes, your money goes, everything that's beautiful, doesn't last and is completely ungraspable. So, our suffering, you could say, is proportionally related to the degree to which that we resist the fact that all we've got is deceit and betrayal. And somehow, if we get strangely accustomed to deceit and betrayal as all that we have, maybe if we're lucky, some of the beauty of it can shine through.
Right, and from time to time, you can go play with small children.
Oh, yeah, if there are any around, it would be a good
Yeah.
idea to keep their company.
Yeah. Until
Yeah.
they become little shitheads.
Yeah, that's right. And that happens quickly. So you want to hang out with
Right.
them very early
That's
because
right. It's a fast.
in minutes they become little shitheads. That's right.
Before they pick up too much from you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, and then there's Hulu.
How's your life in Pennsylvania there?
Yeah, it's all right. No complaints. Cold and dark and slippery, treacherous, and what else is new?
Is your better half back at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's here beside me. We got married on January 1st.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
That was a lot of
Last
fun.
time I spoke to you, she was keeping company with her aunt or something.
Well, yeah, she wasn't staying with her, but visiting quite frequently. And that's kind of smoothed out. Yeah. Hey Francis, what's going on?
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I got tired of being mesmerized by nothing.
Oh
So
yeah.
I'm calling to you just to talk about it. That's
Sure.
all.
No, that's good. Yeah, nothing is a buzzkill.
Yeah.
Something is a buzzkill. It doesn't leave us much left. Somewhere between something and nothing, I hope to dwell. Good luck.
Hey, when you find out where that is, give me a call, yeah?
I will send a postcard and give you a
Let me
shout.
know. I'll come join you.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing is waiting. The minute I stop doing anything.
Yes, right. It's on your tail.
If I stop doing, it opens its jaws, swallows me up.
Well put. It does. It opens its jaws. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and nothing is an interesting contrast to something until something and nothing are neither.
Well, I'm in the contrast phase right now.
Yeah, the contrast phase is fantastic. I mean, it's thrilling.
It's what's thrilling about it is that it is noticeable.
That it what?
That it's noticeable.
Yes.
I mean, early life is lived as though you're living. You don't ever notice that there's not a fucking thing going on.
Yeah, that's some strange stuff. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, after so many decades committed to something, then getting a taste of nothing, I mean, the contrast is bold, right?
Right.
Yeah, and
really.
that's why nothing seems to have, big jaws. Because the contrast is like, you got to be kidding me. And then somehow, don't ask me how or why, and I don't have any confidence in anything anyway. Something loses its edge, nothing loses its edge. And it's like, huh?
What's going on?
You really, huh?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't take a position. And if we're taking a position, then it's a form of idolatry. It's a form of hysteria. So if I'm taking a position in something, that's a form of hysteria. If I'm being gobbled up by nothing, that's a more subtle form of hysteria. And
Hysteria,
between,
nevertheless.
yeah, hysteria nevertheless. And between, something and nothing, we have exactly what this is. Nonstop deceit and betrayal. When you want something from this, right? That's that has to come down to some kind of sensorial appetite, right? It has to come down to an appetite associated with feeling, right? Because that's what we are. We're feelers. Not
some level.
sentimental, we're feelers of the apparitional majesty of phenomenal expression. And we are that phenomenal expression. We're also, you could argue, the source of that expression, though the expression has no source because there's nothing other than the expression. Right? There's not like a void just on the other side of expression. You know what I mean? It's like, well, yeah.
There's anything else other than that.
Yeah, right. What the hell else is it? Right? So it's not like we're going to actually stumble into a void, which is on the other side of expression. Expression is the void. The void is the expression. And we know this, or our confidence is built on that this feels. Right? There's the irrefutability of feeling, of texture, of the pressure of conscious contact, the pressure of consciousness, the pressure of memory, the pressure of sensation, the pressure of profound sublimity. And, you know, we ridicule our joylessness and then go in hot pursuit of joyfulness, thinking that, you know, one is the opposite of the other, or that one is preferential. And that occurs within, you could say, the total idolatry that you think consciousness is something, and or that it's about something. And that idolatry, which is something, it's not, you're not doing it, I'm not doing it, you know, it does itself, right? Because we're just apparitionally occurring feelers. And so idolatry accompanies the bizarre miracle of being a feeler. And then preference shows up. Don't ask me how or why, but preference shows up. You could say associated with the myth of individuation.
And with that comes the idea that we're actually doing something.
Yes, that something's happening, that we're doing something, that there's a consequence, that there's a genesis, that there's a source, there's an origin, there's a better destination than here. There's, you know, enlightenment is real. That if you're walking on water, if you're healing people, if you're turning, you know, water into wine, if you're, you know, going into nirvikalpa samadhi, you know, if people get a buzz by being around you, that you think, oh yeah, oh this is something, you know. Hey, Ramakrishna, you know, he was something, and Adyashanti is something, and Peter Brown is something. You know, you can get a buzz. Wayne Lickerman, he'll give you a nice buzz. You can get a super uber buzz off a whole bunch of people, right? And that's cool. That's thrilling. I mean, in a sense, you could say that's love. That's guru yoga, because you're, let's say, your rainbow body, for lack of a better word, is stimulated by a whole new dimension of feeling than, you know, we know in our so-called ordinary consciousness.
I like your use of the word pressure, because
It is. Yeah.
it turns out that as describing the life of us, all our trillion cells
Yeah.
have a pressure register. And when the pressure changes from what designed to be, then they go into action.
Wow, homeostasis, right, is all about pressure differential,
That's what it is.
isn't it? Isn't cellular homeostasis, you know, biologic homeostasis, endocrinological homeostasis, all about pressure differential?
That's all that's going on in our body.
It's fantastic. So cellular pressure, cellular adhesion, right? The di the dif the differential of electromagnetism, of photosynthesis even, occurring at the so-called biologic level, right, creates, you could say, is the stuff of conscious contact. Fantastic. Incredible.
Doing itself.
And it's doing itself, and it's, you know, it's subtler than mineral, right? It's subtler than cellular. It's subtler than even photonic. So that's really curious when you drill down into the miraculous nature of adhesion and subcellular or subphotonic pressure, gradient and differential. You're looking at the, you know, the underlying vibratory force of phenomenal expression.
Exactly. What is that? I don't know. It's a gift. It's the universe. I mean, it's occurring among the planets and stars.
Yes,
The
when you look
max.
up, yeah, if you look left, right, up, down, in, out, far or near, you're going to see the same. Let's just refer to it as a sacred geometry of adhesion and pressure differential, right? Expressing itself as sacred geometrical form throughout the, you know, what we call the observable universe, macro and microscopically. Ta-da! And you know,
Ta-da.
and in the Bible, what did they call it? You know, in the beginning there was the Word. right?
Right.
That was like, oh yeah, there's the word. And so it was kind of like a rap guy had written the Bible, like, word up, motherfucker. You know, it's like, word up, motherfucker, word. And you're like, and the whole universe began. You know, it was a brother with a big, you know, thing on his shoulder, a big boombox on his shoulder, just going, word up, motherfucker, and the whole universe started.
Popped out.
You know, we thought it was a big turtle or God or something. No, it was just a brother, you know, in down in Brooklyn Heights, going, word up, motherfucker, and boom. That's my Genesis story. I'm sticking to it.
Not Brooklyn Heights, though. He picked the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Brownsville.
Prospect Park 20 years ago. I mean, I don't know. Flatbush, baby. So isn't that interesting? What we have here in this, you know, beautiful, profound, unspeakable complexity of phenomenal expression and feeling is, right, the bizarre sacred geometry of phenomenal expression, which, and you cannot find the lowest common denominator or Bitcoin for what's doing it, because it's doing itself, and it's not the consequence of constituents, is it? How is it possible that we have these five senses and the profundity of thought and the profundity of all texture, whether human or super or sub or who gives a fuck, and we cannot find an actual constituent element that could be held responsible for it? I mean, you know, that's good. I'm good. Thanks very much. I'm good. That's all I needed to hear. This isn't made of anything. And there's no author, right? I
Just
mean, if
happened.
some, yeah, if someone said what the word God really means is that there's no author, there's no constituent element, and nothing's really happening, I would say, I'll worship that. You know, I'll worship that. But if all of a sudden, you know, God has to become Hashem, or, you know, the God of Abraham, or Jesus and his, you know, good buddies, the
No
Father, the
way.
Son, and the Holy Spirit, or if it has to be, you know, someone that Muhammad got jiggy with, I'm like, ah, I don't know, I'm not so sure.
One more story.
Yeah, right. It's another story which gives us permission to conduct a brutal violation. Yeah.
Kind of dizzying, to spend more and more moments in that, seeing that
Yes.
in just
Yes.
dwelling in
Yeah.
the nothingness.
That's what sneaks up on you. I mean, everyone thinks they're in hot pursuit of enlightenment. They don't realize that enlightenment is exactly what you said. It's the jaws, the great jaws of nothing at all, devouring them whole. You know. Just kick back. This has got you in its sights, and you know, the red laser beam is pointed right between your eyes. You're going down. It's a high velocity bullet. You're not even going to feel it. It's just so funny. All this appetite, yes? All the appetite that we have for suffering and lamentation and isolation and insignificance, meaninglessness, and, you know, the pursuit of personal relevance, right? I mean, what is enlightenment other than the pursuit of some kind of personal relevance? So that I can have a certain kind of experience, a spiritual experience, a transcendent experience, that I could become invulnerable, that I can see things in a miraculous way, right? Yeah, I mean, it's we can't help but to look at even the most sublime spiritual possibility as a, you know, narcissistic endeavor. if we're lucky, you know, if we're lucky, then this, which is clearly nothing, which has no author, which has no constituent, which has no actual consequence. You know, if that, if as that revelation sneaks up on us, then who knows what the outcome is? I wouldn't belittle it by calling it enlightenment. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's the lexicon of the common man's notion about what this reality is. It's so much
Yes.
bigger.
Yes. Hooray. Thank you. Yeah, that's right.
Stop labeling it. One is rendered speechless.
Yes.
Speaking is just struggling to try to say something to another about the awesomeness of it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all
I
it is.
mean, you know, it's not like Rumi got it down.
Not yet. Anybody's got the whole story, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, Rumi's just blowing smoke up everybody's ass. I mean, you know, once we start celebrating someone, something, we immerse instantaneously in a form of idolatry. And that form, and that idolatry, no matter how well accepted it may be, you know, by the spiritual culture, is a kind of violence. Because why? Because, well, because nothing is unutterable and does not obey idolatry. You know, I would say that's where our may I be so bold to suggest our genuine authenticity is found. Right? The absolute cessation of all idolatry and superstition. And the lexicon that we use, right, to celebrate great masters, alive or dead. But you know, what do I know?
Who knows anything? We can make once you get a glimpse of the nothingness, and it starts once to gobble you up.
Exactly, yeah.
What seems
That's
to
right.
be noticeable is that any form of any doingness is a seduction to be avoided.
Yes, yeah, we can't. I mean, even if we lock ourselves in a cave, right, it's not going to work.
No.
Even if I go on a 3-year Tibetan retreat, you know, in a high altitude place,
Oh, fuck it.
sipping yak milk. It's not going to work because you cannot escape the miraculous power of deceit and betrayal.
Eat the nettles and turn green. God bless you.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. We cannot throw off the yoke of deceit and betrayal. And any attempt to do so is a form of idolatry. So, you know, the suggestion is that the deep perception or perceiving of that, I don't know, maybe that helps us drop. What the hell do we drop? What do we drop? I don't know. We drop illusion, we drop delusion, we drop the insistence that something need be true. Right? I mean, why do humans suffer? Well, let's move the Buddha to the side for a moment. Humans suffer because we insist that something, anything, need be true. And when we find out that nothing is true, and that all we're facing from moment to moment is the gushing beatitude of deceit and betrayal, we're really pissed off. We're really disoriented.
For a little
And
while.
so, So start the Crusades, you know. Piss on somebody else's parade because we're so angry.
Yeah, but isn't the deceit and betrayal equally untrue?
Yes. Well, that's why I'm referring to it as deceit and betrayal.
Okay.
Deceit and betrayal are, well, our reaction to it. You know, if my reaction to it is disappointed, if my reaction to it is angry, if my reaction to it is afflicted, then we've made it true, right?
Right.
So if I see that all that occurs from moment to moment is me simply disappearing into void, which is, you know, again, tongue-in-cheek, deceit and betrayal, then I might be able to relax completely in the miraculous lap of deceit and betrayal and not get all worked up.
Not to make anything out of it.
Not make anything out of it, which suggests also not making anything out of myself, not making anything out of my personal so-called experience.
Exactly.
That this doesn't actually convey anything, then I don't have to
insist. Deceit and betrayal are not personal.
That's right. Absolutely not. Deceit and betrayal is exactly what a beautiful sunset is. Exactly what the remarkable face of an infant is.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, compassion, the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, you know, fighting with Mara and coming out the victor. That's deceit and betrayal. But see, we think that the Buddha under the Bodhi tree means that something happened to the Buddha that turned out to be beneficial to him somehow. And so we want that too. And you're like, don't go there, because then you become a dupe for deceit and betrayal, and all you're going to end up with is more disappointment. But this is it's a real curious, let's call it an angle or a non-angle, to take with respect to the very pushy, highly pixelated, fractally miraculous nature of present experience. We insist that this is something, that it's conveying something, that my life is measurable, that I'm actually living a life. When the curious fact is that you're not living a life. There's only, right, radiant expression from moment to moment, none of which last. And it's only by virtue of fantasy that one says, oh, I've lived a life prior to this moment. Or I'm likely to live a life after this moment, and it had better be better. That's why I'm going on the Ajahshanti retreat. That's why I've taken up with Byron Katie to do the work. Because I insist that the life that I've lived up to this point, the one that I'm living now, and the life that I plan on living a moment from now, had better be fucking better. And I'm giving Byron Katie a lot of money to make that come true, to help make that come true. And guess what? She's going to take your fucking money, and your life is still going to suck. Because all this is betrayal and deceit. Now, she won't tell you that all it is betrayal and deceit. She'll tell you that she's having a good time. And you're like, well, if you're having a good time, I'm going to give you my money because I want to have a good time too. She doesn't have the guts, or very few of them have the guts, to tell you, hey, please don't give me your money, dude. Keep your money and, you know, find the nearest carousel and go round and round. You'll be better off. Because all this is deceit and betrayal. And the moment you want something from it as an adornment for the life that you're actually not living, you're fucked. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's harsh, but to me it's kind of beautiful. The moment you take yourself on the road to live a life that's better than the one you've thought you've lived, well, you remain in deceit and betrayal and disappointment, and the poorer for it, because the gurus have taken your savings.
But it wasn't personal.
But it wasn't personal. No, your cash is as good as anybody else's. When it goes into my bank account, it doesn't have your name on it.
Damn straight.
Damn straight. You know, the whole myth of life improvement through enlightenment, through the work, through smoking, you know, beedies, right? The whole myth of life improvement has everyone whipped up into a froth and a frenzy, and then competing with each other, because of course there's limits on life improvement, so mine can only improve at your expense. Yeah, my life can only improve at your expense, so, you know, that's why I'm going to go see, who was the guy with the big fuzzy hair in India that, you know, made Vibhuti and rings disappear? Sai Baba, right? Everyone was like, interview, 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 Baba, interview, interview, interview. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Everyone wants an interview, which means I want my life to be better at your expense, right? No, nobody in the crowd turned and said, Baba, would you please give my friend Benji an interview? Not a one. They all raised their own hands in a frenzy and said, Baba, interview, 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 interview me, give me a ring, give me Vibhuti, give me healing, give me, you know, some kind of experience. Nobody said, hey, Bob here is really suffering. Why don't you give him an interview? You know, that's how we line up. That's how humans queue for scarce resources. Right? It's always been the case. We queue up for scarce resources by throwing each other under the bus. And a lot of that was going on, of course, around Sai Baba, but it goes on around, you know, anyone. Because that's the nature of idolatry. That's the nature of deceit and disappointment. That's its nature.
There's a hook in its action, which is to create the illusion of stability and continuation.
Oh, yes.
We think that the table that we're eating on is real and actually is there.
The table, the fork, the pork, the taste, mountain. The teeth, the tongue, the saliva. The whole works, yeah.
It's a fine act of trickery, believe me.
It's a fine and refined act of total trickery, yeah.
There was a book that I read maybe 20 years ago called The First Second of what was supposedly the Big Bang.
Uh-huh.
There's so much... You know, there's 200 pages devoted to analyzing the first little fragment of a second and
right.
what was going on and how quickly everything changed.
Yeah, well, right.
Guess what? It still
hasn't stopped. Yeah, it never stopped.
Every fucking second it's going, I mean, every particle of a second is going on.
Yeah, that's right.
It can renew itself as long as it chooses. Because the alteration from parsec to parsec is guaranteed to be occurring.
Yeah. Well, so sure.
Because you look down into the Grand Canyon,
uh-huh.
you see something stable. Well, you fucker, what you're witnessing is how it's changing every second.
I think the Grand Canyon's a great example of course, many. Where you think you're staring into a volume, right? And as you give your eyesight to it, as you give your attention and affection to it, you're overwhelmed by the incomprehensibility of it. You know, and your eyes dart around like 1,000 times a second trying to measure up the Grand Canyon to embrace it in a way, right? To kind of embrace the experience with the capacitors of your five senses. But it's unembraceable.
Yeah.
And so the Grand Canyon kind of reveals that to you, you know, in a fun, demonstrative way. But so does our present experience. So does this experience, right? This very experience, you might be sitting in the comfort of your kitchen or your living room or on your cell phone or whatever the hell you're doing to participate in this hellacious gibberish. But your present experience is exactly like that which is revealed by the Grand Canyon. It's completely, it's like unobtainium.
Try to find it.
Can't.
There's nothing to find.
Can't capture, can't measure. We can't even recall the so-called present moment with any accuracy whatsoever. And that's not that difficult to see, right? I mean, if you give your attention to the present moment and you just kind of look around and hear and feel and you're like, "Oh shit, man, this shit's whizzing by faster than I can even get a leg up, get a word up." And yet we insist that we can actually remember circumstances and events with some degree of accuracy. But try to apply that magical power to the present moment and you'll see you can't. You cannot contain this. You cannot embrace it. You can't package it. It does not fit into a takeout container. And that's not that difficult to see, but 5 minutes from now we'll look back and say, "Oh yeah, I remembered what the hell that was all about." And everything that you do remember that constructs the hallucination of your life was arbitrary. Really, I mean, let's take your memories from early childhood up to, a day ago or 5 minutes ago. Everything that you can, let's say, reach into for recall to create the frame of your imaginary life, every single photon of memory has all been arbitrary. So where is this I that says I? I'm choosing, I'm doing, I'm deciding, I'm suffering, I'm enlightened, I'm in hot pursuit. It's absolute fabrication.
I had the pleasure of watching Eloise. She's now 13 months old, Jeff. Remember,
Nice.
my granddaughter who comes to work every day.
Yeah.
She patterns her life out of what she sees Ruth and I doing. Always with a pencil in her hand, always after a piece of paper, making
Nice.
marks, and
Right.
busy. So she is, it's amazing to watch adults get around her. And they're completely mesmerized because every particle of a second, she's up to something new. She's like the occurrence of the universe, unchanneled, uncontained.
Yeah,
Just
what fun.
the occurring.
Yeah, a beautiful observation. Maybe that's maybe why we find children, infants, right? So fascinating, so refreshing,
Yeah.
so novel, so novel.
What I experience that I'm watching when I see her is the expression of that unbounded moment. You don't know where it's going, what she's doing, what
Yeah.
she's up to. She's so present. And it's a showstopper. Adults are left speechless. How can you talk when you're watching this occur?
Yeah.
So, whoever else was on the call earlier mentioned that.
Yes.
The woman who was on our name.
When we get a taste, or as we get a taste of the emptiness of self, right, fully expressive in what we call the present moment, though there are no present moments, we get a taste of our own novelty.
And I contend that you can see novelty when it's presenting itself in a raw fashion.
Well, that, yeah, that is novelty, right? The presentation of raw data, unadulterated, without consequence or measure, is novelty. And our nature, which is, not really a noun or a verb or anything like that, our nature is novelty.
Same.
Yeah, it is exactly the same. We are novelty. We are that. But of course, we become, befuddled by ideas and superstitions and beliefs and fear and, PTSD, malnourishment, right? Regret, revenge, restlessness, boredom.
They're all substitutes for that novelty.
That's right. That's right.
Oh.
So maybe in that case, you know, if enlightenment were a thing, if liberation were a thing, and hopefully it's not, but if it were, you know, you could say, oh, it's the revelation of novelty. Well, yes, it's interesting. You know, anything that, phew, it's weird. I mean, anything that occupies our attention or fascination is wearisome. We think, oh, if only I could have that as a nonstop, you know, XYZ, that would be the shit. And we fail to confess to ourselves that everything we've had, everything we've felt, the most high spiritual experiences, the best sex, the best drugs, the best parking spot, the best, you know, sunset over the Great Lakes, the best, you know, whitefish on an everything bagel on
Right.
Second Avenue is becomes not enough. That's the madness, you could say, of
Well,
let's call
that's
it
because.
human consciousness in pursuit of an idealized experience, right?
Yeah,
Something that's capturable and measurable.
you've defined the notion of betrayal.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. Betrayal and deceit is all we have. That's right, because consciousness, if we can call it that, is permeable. Not containable. So to the extent that we can get accustomed to, if not affectionate, with betrayal and deceit, you know, who knows? Something might arise in one's experience, which is a very, I would argue, a different quality than living compensatorily, compensatorially. Right. And I would say that, you know, you could say, oh, that sounds like maybe a metaphor for enlightenment or actualization or awake or something that Eckhart Tolle had on a bench, you know, after his parents threw spaghetti at the wall. I mean, I don't know. But it's but thankfully, whatever this is or isn't is stranger than, you know, anything anyone can write in a book. Right? As sure as hell is not about suffering and the end of suffering. I mean, that is so 2014. All of this investment that Buddhism and we have placed in suffering and the end of suffering turned out to be a sharp left-hand turn to nowhere. Because the investment that we make in trying to stop suffering turns out to be a big waste of time. What are we trying to do? Make sure that betrayal and deceit is not what this is? Dude, you're not going to change it. You're not, this is betrayal and deceit, moment to moment,
There's only one out.
unmitigated. Yeah, completely unmitigated. So, you know, to try to stop suffering through meditation, through, you know, veganism, live food, right? Singing Thich Nhat Hanh songs. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. I'm an insufferable asshole, and that's not about to stop. You know, that's not going anywhere. Yeah. I've been practicing mindfulness and I'm still an insufferable asshole. Breathing out, breathing out, breathing out. This shit isn't working. Maybe we could go rock climbing with Bentinho Massaro or manifest shit. Oh, yeah, I got a Woody. Let's manifest something. Yeah, let's turn this into something that makes my life look really nice, really good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's worthwhile. Yeah. Let's convince everybody how enlightened I am by pointing a camera at my face day in and day out and, you know, telling them all about it. I'll turn myself into an absolute fetish on YouTube and then I'll help people. Yeah. I know. Why don't we go have tuna salad with Muji? That'll do it. Or I'll take LSD and read I Am That 10 times. That'll do it. Oh, maybe this is all about love. Yeah.
Yeah,
Of
there it
course.
is. You read my mind.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, this is all about love. If only we had more love. Okay. Fantastic.
How about fourth level consciousness?
Fourth level is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like fourth level is good. And everything that Meher Baba said about this is true. Somebody write tuna salad and LSD. Yum. Really, a man after my own heart, or a woman, I'm not sure who F is. Oh, I know what F must be for. F stands for fuck you, fuck me, and fuck this. You know, the profundity of ideation and the profundity of affection, of association, of bardo and universe creation is nonstop, right? I mean, it may be absolutely arbitrary. It may be absolutely, you know, maddening in a good way, but it's nonstop. Deceit and betrayal is all this can do. It doesn't actually convey anything. It doesn't actually insist upon a durable reality. You are not experiencing a durable reality. You're not in the midst of a durable reality. You're not the consequence of a durable reality. You're not the source of a durable reality. You're nothing at all. And to play these, you know, silly asinine games as far as you know, the law of attraction and manifestation is like, why would you belittle yourself to the point of having an interest in attracting something? Why would you even take the corny horseshit of your experience so seriously that you're inspired to manifest something? That, talk about a buzzkill. But that's how a lot of this shit is sold, right? Because we think that the optimization of experience is what this is about. Well, no. Pardon me, it's not about the optimization of experience. It's about the simple revelation, if you could only get jiggy with it, that all this is deceit and disappointment. Deceit and betrayal. And you're like, oh, well, fuck me. This is just deceit and betrayal. I'm good. That's not what people typically want to hear. But, you know, we're having a good time at their expense. Well, yeah. Yes, it's, you know, at a minimum, you could say that. Right? I mean, it's
Okay.
so, this is so fervently all-encompassingly, apparitionally so. That place is an imagination. Get is that, imagination.
I mean that generically. Like
yeah.
Some activity to do something to get somewhere to further your whatever you think your life is about.
That's right. The sense of one's life or one's corporeal sheath, you know, as a human body born of two parents, of course, whom you love dearly, you know, that treated you respectfully, is an absolute myth. You know, revelation, if we can refer to it as that, is really fucking strange. Because typically we might think of revelation as being, can we say, a packet of knowledge, right? A packet of wisdom, a packet of experience, right? Revelation about something, revelation occurring within my experience that, you know, reveals or inures to something. And it's not. Revelation itself is, you know, non-dual. Not the consequence of anything. It has no actual utility. It flatlines the presumption that one is actually having an experience. That's how, let's say, you know, strange or devastating revelation could actually be. It flatlines the presumption that one is actually having an experience. I don't think it gets any more intimate than that. What do I need to do? Take a vow? Commit myself to, you know, more meditation? Read Jon Kabat-Zinn? Go to Bombay? Hook up with Wayne Lickerman? Carl Renz, Jeff Foster, Bentinho, Peter Fenner, and of course all of their, you know, respective offspring? You're like, Excuse me, is there anyone amongst you fucking thieves that's willing to tell the truth? Or is it all about enrolling people in your correspondence course? I'm a junkie. I'm like everybody else. I'm a junkie for sublimity. I'm a junkie for the inconsequential nature of this beatitude. I sure as shit don't want to manifest anything. I'd rather not get a parking spot.
You're not doing that anyway, so don't worry about it.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for letting me off
Yep.
the hook. Suzanne, I'm going to get a seizure from your fan.
Oh, sorry. Here. We don't want you to have a seizure.
Too late. I got to go to the kitchen and put a spoon in my mouth.
That's old school seizure
Yeah.
intervention. Yeah.
What do you do these days? Listen to a Eckhart Tolle tape?
I like to listen to an Eckhart Tolle tape while I'm listening to Nice Guy Sangha and see
Yeah.
which one will cause me a seizure.
That's right.
Yeah.
See if they sync up somehow miraculously. Oh
Mm-hmm.
my fucking pain body.
Thank you. Thank you for the comic relief, Jeff.
Hey, tune in anytime.
I will.
We like to have a little fun. Take the edge off of our discouraged and disparaging selves.
Better than whiskey.
It goes good with whiskey.
Oh my God. Called in for the puppy. The puppy here?
Oh, the puppy?
The puppy with the little telephone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only way I know to attract, one or two listeners is to put cute animal photos on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
That seems to be the only thing that works.
Yeah, they say if you look at pictures of baby animals, it hits some sort of like receptor in your brain that's the same as sex.
Oh,
So,
nice.
good
Yeah,
idea.
that's why I'm trying to look more and more like a koala bear. I'm growing a bunch of eucalyptus in the kitchen. Next week I'll be chewing on eucalyptus leaves while having this conversation to make it look like more and more like I'm a koala bear.
It's funny, I did listen to an interview with Eckhart yesterday. So,
Okay, how'd it
do you
go?
have some sort of tracking device on my computer or something? Or
Yeah, I'm tracking you, of course.
seeing how many other people I listen to.
Yeah, I don't know. What did Eckhart have to say for himself?
Well, just that he used to like to be by himself a lot, and now, there's like too many people like calling him all the time, and he
It's his
can't
own
really.
fault.
Yeah. And he has a
Yeah.
few more, his apartments, but his place of residence is bigger now. He used to live very poorly, and
He
but he still,
probably was happier then.
yeah, he probably was. It's kind of a fey
Yeah.
little leprechaun, so
Yeah.
I got the sense like he could give a hoot about most things, really.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really teaching so much. It was sort of somebody had some foreign, it was translated from something, just interviewing him about his life, which I had heard before, so it wasn't very exciting.
Yeah, no, he's not that exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't sing or anything. That's why.
No, he doesn't sing. No.
He doesn't sing or cuss or anything.
He doesn't look like an animal. Well, he looks like a lot like E.T. because of his flared nostrils.
Yeah, he definitely looks like E.T.
Yeah, he's kind of like, hey, where are those M&Ms?
Reese's Pieces.
Where are those, exactly? Where are those Reese's Pieces? Hey, I'm not from around here. When's the mothership coming? Watch out for that pain, body.
It's entertaining to hear him laugh. Wow.
Who, Eckert?
Yeah.
Yeah, he giggles like a child. It's
yeah,
fun.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the helping people game obviously can be very lucrative.
I know it isn't for me, but okay.
Yeah, unfortunately not for you. You know, but it's like it's a bit of a slippery slope, right? Because once you start, giving a generic and superficial spiritual advice to many, many, many people, the general IQ or the aggregate consciousness is, may I say, low. Just because of the way humanity functions. I mean, humanity's fucked. Humanity's crazy. Humanity suffers from profound hypnosis. And so if you're pouring out sufficiently generic teachings to reach the mass disappointment, then you know, your ministry is suffering. It's already going down the tubes.
Well, if you join forces with Oprah, you have to be inviting that.
That's right. Yeah. See, once you go in that direction, and get seduced into that level of exposition. You know, Wayne Dyer, of course, is huge, and Deepak Chopra, who's a congenital liar, is, really big, and Carolyn Meese, and there's a whole bunch of names like that. But once you start feeding, the general human defilement with spiritual teachings, then you can't help but to become a product of it, right? You become fetishized, and you become absorbed in your own archetype. And of course, the narcissist loves that. I mean, that's food for the narcissist, right? People in, musicians and actors and stage and, me generation speakers, politicians, right? It's just it's a seduction. It's a slippery slope. Whatever this is or isn't, I don't know if it really gets a lot of play, on the Joel Osteen, right, stage. It's always perennially, right, hanging out in a Sufi coven is a subtle affair, right? A couple of folks. Once the stadium becomes too large, then you could say the quality of work, the sublimity of transmission, and I don't mean from to, right? Transmission is a unicity. Transmission is an inclusivity. Transmission is egalitarian, right? Transmission is not from to. Transmission is, we be toys. We are us. Toys are us. That's how transmission thrives. I mean, you could say that, Nazi Germany was a form of transmission. a lethal form. We don't have, and probably will never have, even though that's an absurd projection, that, what would you say, the general culture could ever come to appreciate the apparitional nature of consciousness as an intimacy, as an inclusivity, as a trans... human as a transcendent revelation.
So what you're saying, what you're asserting is that disclosure is a myth.
Yeah, it so is. Yeah, that's right. I mean, even look at Eckhart Tolle's, you know, numbers and the outcome of books as bold as... you know, what was the second one? A New Earth, right? A New Earth fulfilling your life's purpose, right? So, you know, even that message was a seriously difficult cross to bear. Because it suggests, right, you know, a mutative future, transmutative future. And then linking a new earth with one's so-called purpose in life, right, is a slippery slope. Goldfish get out or something?
No, the printer started printing something. I must have printed something accidentally. So
probably something from the Pleiadians.
Probably.
Suzanne, save your life. Get off the call. something from the Great White Brotherhood.
ETs and they show up, and what they reveal is that they're capable of moving in and out of this, the illusion of this existence. No wonder they'll be shot.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, right? You know, a lot of ET phenomena has revealed that, has suggested that, right? Like coming and going from here seems to be, for them, you know, such an ephemeral gesture. And what's interesting is, you know, we like to think that, let's say, some kind of intelligence, organized intelligence from elsewhere, you know, has to be traveling at several iterations of light speed, right, the speed of light. When, you know, Einstein would have suggested, I don't know, you know, not so sure. If what we refer to as matter, right?
Yeah.
Could travel at the speed of light and therefore you know, philosophically, argumentatively expand in all directions, right, as a unicity. And so it's quite clear that, you know, any kind of organized intelligence that may appear within the realm of what we call Earth has to be an interdimensional being, not a being that happened to be inside of some kind of alloy vehicle that is traveling from, you know, a galaxy at iterations of light speed. And so if they're present here and not from here, then, and ephemeral, you know, by nature, then clearly, you know, logically, if there is such a thing, they are interdimensional.
Right.
Not interstellar, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to be interstellar.
Well, that's what it looks like, is the rub when it comes to revealing it all.
I think it's kind of fun. Right. You know, it's like, am I in a place now? Well, it certainly seems familiar. You know, my room, my stuff, right? My slovenly disarray strewn all over the floor. I know it well. But we're never in a place.
Sounds like another 10,000 years to me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Just to begin to pull on that thread, right?
Right.
Yeah, we are sadly primitive.
Oh, boy, are we.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we actually kill one another.
Yeah, that's right.
With abandon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like we're going to get another bush and keep on doing it.
Rock and roll. Well, listen, these days, as long as you're not a vaccine denier, you're okay.
Right.
I think the pharmaceutical industry is so freaked out about revealing the criminality behind vaccines that they're making sure to put it on the political agenda so mm-hmm. that people that are conservatively cautious and disbelieving about vaccines can be turned in to the next genocidal group of miscreants. Yeah. We are so easily pushed around by fear and superstition and puppy photos and sentimentalities of all kinds that, you know, whatever the media jams down our throats, we ingest as true.
Well, it's going to be hard to swallow the irony of the freedom seekers and the less government and supporting vaccination, making them mandatory. How is that's ever going to be squared, that argument?
Yes. Well, you know, given unmitigated population expansion mm-hmm. and peak oil and declines in the food chain, you know, we can sign up for a lot of bitter pills. As the one-tenth of the 1% and the fascist mind continue their, you know, march toward oblivion. Oh, well.
We've come and gone many times, so what the heck?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, this comes and goes many times in a moment.
We need a little perspective here.
Yeah.
I love reading about the discovery of objects and artifacts in coal mines and locations, indicating hundreds of thousands of years ago. And all, nobody wants to look at it.
Right, right, that's right. The archaeological record is a lot more scary than anyone lets on.
Never just deny.
Yep. Deceit, betrayal, denial.
It's all part of the plan.
That's all we have. Yeah. Yeah. I've been a miner for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.